and John 7. I forgot, we have Joe Kenning's ordination down at the First Baptist Church of DeMott this afternoon at 2. So you're welcome to go to that. John 7, 37, and then Luke 10. Okay, at a risk of being a little redundant for the ones at camp, I'm going to look at the Luke 10 passage, but I want to show you or tell the folks what some of you experienced this past week, and then show you and all of us how to have a continual revival within your heart daily between you and God. Okay, so we'll go ahead and pray first. Lord, I do ask you to help us understand these ideas, help us recognize that in the Old Testament, yeah, it was religion. In the New Testament, it's relationship. And I pray that you'd help us to draw close to the Lord Jesus. I pray you'd help us recognize that if by chance, if somebody is not saved, that they would see their need of Jesus Christ. And that they might recognize that once a person is saved, the Spirit of God is with them everywhere they go, and He could be their teacher and guide. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, in Luke chapter 10, verse 38, it's a story of two sisters, focuses on two sisters. I'm not going to pick on Martha. I admire Martha and also admire Mary in this process. But there's just a slight difference between them. And in verse 38 it says, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village." Okay, the cross references, that would be Bethany, a town called Bethany. "And a certain woman named Martha received him into her house." So the house was owned by a guy named Simon the leper. "And she had a sister named Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone?'" Isn't that like sisters?
"Yeah, she ain't helping me."
Okay, "bitter therefore that she helped me. And Jesus answered, said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." Careful, full of care. Troubled about many things. "But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." So Mary is going to demonstrate how to have a continual revival, continual service for the Lord. In John chapter 7, here's how he demonstrated for in John 7:37. "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, 'If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Notice it's coming from the inside, inside out. So what's flowing from the inside? "But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." So the Holy Ghost is introduced about seven chapters later, and then he came to indwell them and every born-again believer since then at the moment of salvation. In Acts 2, he came at that time. So if you look, analyze, a lot of times when you have a good experience or you have a good mood or when you're in a bad mood, go backwards and figure out why. Why am I in a good mood? Why am I in a bad mood? What did I do to get this bad mood? What did I get this to get in a good mood? And then you exercise the same things and you can stay in a good mood most of the time. Okay, now the camp. Last week, there's a preacher from Jacksonville, Florida, preached for the kids last week. David Peacock is his name. So he preached Monday night, twice Tuesday, twice Wednesday, twice Thursday, and twice Friday. And now Thursday night, the kids experienced I guess you could call it a revival, in that they came down to an altar before the preaching and was confessing and reconciling and everything, even to the point where Brother Peacock changed his message to kind of as the Spirit led. So they experienced some amazing things. Now, through the years, I've noticed that kids go to camp often. They'll be fired up and excited about things, and they come back, and about 2 weeks, they're back to the pre-camp times. Why is that? It's because they're not duplicating what they experienced. Now, we can't duplicate some of the things. So what did the kids what did they do last week? Well, they got rid of social media. Okay, they got rid of carnal friends, even though I know some were carnal ones there, and you can still kind of spot them by the ones that gravitated towards them. But still, they had that, but at least they didn't have the carnal influence. Okay, they had good music throughout the week, a lot of good special music. They had good preaching, and they had some activities, but the activities were kind of motivated or focused around some spiritual things. And so that's what they experienced last week. That was all outward things. And so the good experience that they experienced on Thursday night was a result of something that occurred outwardly that worked on them inwardly. Now, this week, you can't have Brother Peacock preach for you this week. He's down in Jacksonville. So you can't duplicate that. You can duplicate the music. You can duplicate, get rid of social media, maybe not all the time, but some of the time. You can duplicate getting rid of some of them carnal friends by mentioning the Lord a few times. They'll leave you alone. So you can duplicate some things, but the Bible shows us how that we can have a continual revival until we see Jesus Christ face to face. And so the example we're going to see is from Mary and Martha, the example there. But first off, I want to show you that a form of godliness is outward, but true godliness is inward. There's a difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament, and the word religion or religious is found 7 times in the Bible, and in every single case it's referring to religious Judaism. Okay, and so you'll find it 7 times it's mentioned in the New Testament, but the times that it's mentioned, it's pointing back to Old Testament, where in the New Testament, the idea is the faith of Jesus Christ, something slightly different. The Old Testament usually started outward, then worked inward, but in the New Testament, it starts inward and then works outward. But man still has that temptation of that outward because that's what makes you look good. And they want to look good outwardly. If you would look at Matthew 23, who looked good outwardly, religiously, in Matthew 23, and if you go to the land of Israel today, you'll still see these guys walking around, and if you don't know how religious they are, ask them, they'll tell you. They're pretty impressed with themselves. They got their fancy hat, they got their curly Q hair coming down, they got their little box on their forehead. Okay, and they're, you know, going against a wailing wall, whopping their, not hitting their head unless they're charismatic. I got the Holy Ghost. And I mean, all that stuff there, that's all outward. It's all outward. Matthew 23, verse 25, it says this, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." Is that the loving Jesus talking? Is that the lowly Nazarene? Man. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity." That's a form of godliness. Okay, that's outward. Godliness is inward. And what I witnessed this past week was a wonderful thing. And somebody was helping the young people to put something inward, but now how can we continue that? Okay, this Bible will give us the answer. In Mark chapter 7, verse 21 and 23, it lists 13 sins that come from within. So when a person has these sins that come from within our heart and they come outward, you can't blame your environment, you can't blame your parents, you can't blame your friends. The blame goes rightfully to you and I because it comes from within the heart. So what do we got to do? We got to change that heart. We got to work on that inward. Jesus Christ said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, because the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of heaven is outside. The kingdom of God is inside, within the heart. Now, I know man's temptation is he's always got to see something outside. Always got to try to get something outside. But Jesus Christ says that man is born of the Spirit like the wind. It's like the wind. It starts from the inside. And that's where it's always at, is on the inside. It eventually comes outside, but there's a different reason for it. There's a different motive. In Luke chapter 10, if you would, let's take a look at Mary and Martha again and see the slight difference. Now, I see Mary and Martha not as a big difference, but a slight difference. I'd say Martha is more like silver, a silver coin, and Mary is more like a gold coin. There's slight variations. I'm not saying Martha's bad. I admire Martha because she did a service out of character, out of duty, out of responsibility. And those are not bad things. But when that is the sole motive of doing something for the Lord out of character and duty and responsibility, there's going to be times where you get frustrated, get fed up, and you're going to want people to be helping you. Where Mary had a little slight different motive in her service. So in verse 39, it says, in verse 38, it says, Martha received him into her house. So, man, that's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. Invite Jesus Christ into her house. Okay, and then it says she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So Jesus Christ came into the house and sits down, or maybe he's standing up. I'm not sure what their customs would be. And there's Mary right there in the front, sitting right at his feet listening. She's paying attention. Martha's in the back. She was getting some meals together and maybe making a falafel or something like that for them Jews. And she's making something like that. She's going to bring it in. And she's kind of getting worn out. Then, you know, looking at the clock, when's he going to stop? When's he going to stop? And so she just kind of barged in there out of frustration. She said, Lord, would you have my sister help me? Man, at least make her clean the dishes. Do something. And the Lord gave her a very gentle rebuke. He did rebuke her. And then he did the wrong thing, is pointed to her sister. Said, listen to her. Now, Cain didn't appreciate that. When God rejected Cain's offer, he said, why don't you go to your brother? I ain't going to him. Come on. It's the only brother you got. I mean, there's only four of you right now. I mean, come on, you got to get over it. Well, in Luke chapter 10, it says Martha was cumbered about much service. She got worn out. We've all been there. We've all been there. We've all gotten worn out. And she came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care? What do you mean, dost thou not care? Of course he cares. Don't you care? Of course he cares. Well, often when you get frustrated and tired, you kind of get your perception gets a little askewed. Dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bitter, therefore, that she helped me. And when somebody's like Mary or Martha, where Martha is like a person that's always going to serve, a Baptist that's always going to be serving, always going to be doing this, doing that, doing this, doing that, doing this, doing this. And some of the preachers like that because their work gets bigger, because when people are continually doing something, obviously it draws folks, and preachers kind of like that when they get more folks in there, and of course there's nothing wrong with that. But when they want to continue that process, well, their people get so busy, they don't got time to study. And then they're limited to eating leftover pizza from him. I mean, leftover pizza's okay, but I mean, I don't want somebody to chew it up for me and spit it out like birds do. I want to chew it myself. You see, but that's what a lot of times, and then these folks, they get tired, get worn out, they get burned out. And if they get frustrated, if they get hurt when something really bad happens in a church, something bad happens, they take off and they got no stability because they've not been studying. And they might go this way, and they might go this way, and they might go that way, and you don't know what's going on in their lives because they've not spent some time studying. Well, here's how the Lord responded. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha. Well, that occurs seven times in the Bible where when God speaks a person's name twice, back to back. Abraham, Abraham. He said, Simon, Simon. Satan hath desired to sift thee as wheat. Six times he said that to a man, and once he said it to a lady. Now, when the Lord says that twice like that, okay, in our culture, that'd be like mama saying first and middle name. When she says first and middle name, that usually means I'm in trouble. When I heard David Allen, okay, what did I do? Okay, and so the Lord says, Martha, Martha, thou art careful, full of care, and troubled about many things. Why is she troubled? Well, in John 12, she was troubled because she didn't know about, or John 11, she didn't know about Lazarus and where was he at and the resurrection. She didn't know some doctrinal things. And then he said this, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part. Mary chose to listen. Martha chose to serve. I mean, it's not a bad thing. I mean, you got to have somebody clean the kitchen. You got to have somebody cooking the food. Okay, but Martha chose. And then Jesus said, which Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away. What's he implying? He's implying Martha's service may be taken away. It may go up in smoke at the judgment seat. He didn't say it will. He said it might. It depends on the motive. Depends on the motive of what she's doing. Okay, and so Mary, what Mary's doing is not going to be taken away, sitting at the feet of Jesus. You see, Martha was a laborer, but Mary was a learner. Martha was a server, but Mary was a student. You see, and Martha was concerned about her work for God, but Mary was concerned about her walk with God. Now, does that mean Mary just sat all the time and listened to Jesus Christ and did nothing? No, her service is found three times in the New Testament, recorded three times. I mean, that's pretty good. If God records something you do three separate times, that means there's some priority there, what Mary did. And if you would, go to John chapter 12 and let's see what Mary did. In John chapter 12, at the beginning, now this is recorded also in Matthew 26 and also in Mark 14. And you get more of the characteristics going on in the story. In John 12, it says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany. So now we know the town where Lazarus was, which he had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper. Now, us country folk, we know that that's the evening meal, supper. Okay, not dinner, it's supper. That's a biblical thing, so we just want to kind of throw that out there. But even at that, he says, and Martha served. Now, see, she's still serving. Why? Character, duty, responsibility. That is to be admired. There's nothing wrong with that. Okay, it's just that if we can make a minor adjustment in our heart of what is our motive of that service. So then it says this, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with them. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard. So this is an essential oil of some type where they take the plant or the root or the leaves or the stem and they squeeze it and oil comes out. And then this oil can be mixed with other oils, frankincense, gold, myrrh. Okay, and then you can place these things on a certain part of your body for healing. Frankincense, sometimes you can put it in the back of your neck or on your wrist like this. Rub it in your wrist or in the bottom of your feet. And then the skin, your largest organ of the body, will absorb it into the body. And those organs can affect you emotionally. They can affect you spiritually. Okay, in a good way, they can affect you physically. And so Mary's taking this ointment. This type of ointment, and then she put it on the head of Jesus Christ, put it on the back of his neck, and then she dropped her feet and put it right at his feet. She put it on his feet. What was she doing? Well, in the Old Testament, she understood Jewish customs that when they have the Passover lamb one time a year on the 14th day of the month, each family would set aside a lamb of their own on the 10th day of the month. So they'd set that lamb aside and that lamb was a special lamb for their family on the 10th day of the month. And then on the 14th day, they'd take that down to the temple and they'd offer sacrifice to the Lord. Well, here Mary knew that the lamb's got to be set aside. He's set aside, he's got to be anointed, so she is doing the anointing. She didn't go to a school to learn this. She didn't go to a conference and learn anointing of Jesus before the crucifixion. She didn't take a special course. She had learned it herself from reading her Bible, sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ. Now, there were some wonderful ladies that came after the death of Jesus Christ and came to the sepulcher to anoint his body. I mean, what they were doing was a good thing, was a right thing, but the timing was off a little bit. You see, and a lot of times it says in Ecclesiastes that everything is beautiful in his time. You know, if you pray, God, please give me the right words to the right person at the right time, you might be surprised with the right response. Spontaneous. At work. You know, I was in an auto parts store, did not expecting to have the part. And the guy said, oh, we got the part. I said, well, praise the Lord. He said, what? I said, oh, well, never mind. Just came out. Okay, and so those spontaneous times, you might be surprised that that gets a lot accomplished. When people say things, and often people will open up the door to witness. And if we're in tune to the Bible, we can walk through that door. You see? And so Mary was reading her Bible. She was sitting at the feet of Jesus. And so it says, so Mary took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly. She didn't go and try to ask people to pay for her sacrifice. She did it. This was something very useful, what she was desiring to do for Jesus Christ, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Wow, what a thing. Now, in the other passage, you'll find that she does it all over him. And notice when you do something for the Lord, out of love in this case, somebody's going to criticize it. And, yep, somebody criticizes it right there off the bat. Verse 4, then saith one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Well, you always got those. But you see, when you do it for the Lord, who cares what people say? It doesn't matter. Well, in this case, the Lord stepped up. Notice Mary did not defend herself. It says, this, he said, not that he cared for the poor. This man has said that, didn't care for the poor. But because he was a thief and had the bag and bear what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. That's right. Let her alone. And he says, against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Boy, you throw that idea out to people and say, oh, we're not going to help the poor. We're going to give this to Jesus Christ. Boy, would the society get upset with that one. Jesus Christ said, you always got the poor. Help them. He's not saying don't help the poor. He's saying in priority, what you give to me is better than giving to the poor. Now, there are times, our motive. Now, we give to the poor. Why? Because we love Jesus Christ. And then the Lord will say, okay, now you're giving that to me. And that cannot be taken away from you. You see, motive is the key in a lot of these things. Why do we do what we do? Now, this can be an inward revival every single day, getting alone with God. There's times, I'm sure, at camp that they encourage you to read your Bible. They encourage you to get alone with the Lord. Okay, do that today. Do that tomorrow. Do that Tuesday. Turn off the phone. Get rid of the phone. Get alone. Get a Bible. Open it up. And ask the author to teach you what it says. And that's the time where you have an author teaching you what the Bible says in John chapter 7, verse 37 or 36. It says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Personal revival every single day. I'm not saying throw your cell phone out. I mean, you can use your cell phone to listen to Brother Peacock. You can do that on Monday. He's got a lot of things online. You can do that on Tuesday. Okay? And you can listen to some good scriptural music in your cell phone, just like you heard last week. And you can sing along with it and let the Spirit of God work on you. But also on that cell phone, you got to watch out what that Judas Iscariot's going to throw in your face. What's going to determine what you see on that? It's going to be your heart. And you're going to let the Word of God work on our hearts. Psalm 40, verse 8, about the Lord Jesus Christ, where he talks about the Word of God comes from within. He hides it in his heart. Psalm 40, verse 8, as far as the Lord Jesus Christ. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the psalmist, David, Psalm 51, verse 10 says, create in me a clean heart, O God, renew a right spirit within me. He did that. He wrote that psalm after his great sin with Bathsheba. And see, one thing you're going to recognize, and several years ago, when, I don't know, Brent was 9 or 10 or some age like that, I forget, and he did something for somebody else. He was a servant to them. He gave something to them. I don't know what he did. I forget what he did. And so later that night, I mentioned what he did, and he said, Dad, I appreciate it. And I said, who did you make happy by doing that? He said, well, obviously you. You're bragging on me. Yeah, you made me happy. You made your ma happy. Who else did you make happy when you did that? He said, well, obviously God. I said, yeah, that's right. You made the Lord happy. I said, who else did you make happy? Well, that person that I did it for, that made that. They smiled when I did that. I said, that's right. Who else did you make happy when you did that? So, well, anybody that heard it or saw it? I said, yeah, who else did you make happy? He didn't have any other answers. I said, how about you? Oh, yeah. That made me happy. And you know the cleanest and happiest time for the believer is when you get right with God and you draw close to Him. That's the cleanest, that's the happiest time. And when you get back into that, and you get back into the world, you know, you're going to get miserable. You get mad because somebody's going to tell you what to do. And you're not going to want to do what the Lord wants you to do. When you get close to that God, that's where your joy is at. That's where you feel clean. That's where the weight's off your shoulders. Don't forget that feeling that the Lord gives you at that time. And I'm not a guy for the feelings because you're not going to have that all the time. But that spirit from within, if you would look in Romans chapter 8, verse 23. Go to the Spirit of God and ask Him. He's the author of the Bible. He is the teacher of the Bible. He is the instructor. He will guide you. You say, how is He going to do it? I don't know. You figure it out. Just ask Him. Now, He's going to look in that heart, and what's going on in that heart is going to determine what He's going to do to guide. Romans 8, 23, it says this, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit the redemption of our body. The Spirit of God inside every born-again believer is wanting, lusting to envy. He is wanting, lust is in a good word here, He is wanting to give us that guidance, to give us that joy, to give us that inner revival, to give us that peace every single day. But when we get on this thing and grieve Him, and then anger and wrath and clamor and evil speaking set in, we need to get back and let the Lord Jesus work in our hearts. And the problem is, a lot of times people say, well, how does that work? Well, here's the problem. In Proverbs 3, verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. So you have a preconceived idea. Oh, this is how it's going to work. It may not work that way. Take your understanding and pitch it out. And think outside the box. Because that's often where the Lord is at. You see? And just all you and I are responsible for is, Lord, I want your guidance. Please, I want you to renew my spirit. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I'm going to trust you. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Come back to him, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now, you don't know how he's going to direct your paths, but he's going to do it. And it's a matter of each and every one of us. You see, you can duplicate camp all over again every single day. Take the same ingredients that led to those wonderful experiences you had and then put them in an individual setting where you can listen to good music and you can hear some preaching online and you can get some time alone with God, and then the Spirit of God will start working through you every single day. Man, you got that experience, and every day you've got a revival. Why? Because, hey, there's going to be days nobody's going to be around you. You are going to be by yourself. And there's going to be days where that you're going to try to be doing something for the Lord, maybe by yourself, and that Judas Iscariot is going to wear you out. He's going to wear you out. And you just say, Lord, you're my big brother. And whenever I was little, if I had to get in a fight, my big brother usually bailed me out. And so I'm asking you, my big brother, Hebrews says you're my big brother, you're my elder brother, and would you take care of that? And the Lord takes care of it. You see, every single day we can have this walk with Jesus Christ. And there's going to be a day where we're going to hear this shout like Enoch heard. And the Lord said, why don't you come up here and spend a day with me? You know, that day with Enoch and the Lord has been a long time. See, what kind of environment did Enoch live in? Watch TV and you'll see it. Enoch's favorite word was ungodly. In the one sentence that Enoch used that God put in the Bible, he said ungodly four times. Kind of a negative thinker. Negative thinker towards the world, positive thinker toward Jesus Christ. You see, it's just a matter of what we're looking at. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray and ask that you'd help us to see that we can have an inward revival every single day. The Spirit of God can work within every born-again believer every single day. Well, heads bowed and eyes are closed. If you are not born again, you don't know Jesus Christ, you're not certain of where you're going when you die, you can be certain by believing in Jesus Christ. If you'd like somebody to show you, we'd be glad to show you. You just got to ask. If you want to use the altar's open for you. We're already using it. Draw close to the Lord. If you're not born again, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you want somebody to show you, we'd be glad to show you. Every single day, when you have your good times, good feelings, good mood, good emotion, analyze. What caused that? What were the ingredients that gave me that good emotions? What was the ingredients that made me feel bad? Okay, well, duplicate. Put away that social media. Open up that Bible. I'm not saying throw it out the window. I'm saying use it as a tool. Listen to preaching online. Listen to good music online. Have it coming through your house. Let the Spirit of God give us every day a revival through our hearts. The Spirit of God coming out, coming through us every single day, walking with Jesus Christ. And we walk with Jesus Christ, then the work is a natural outflow. Spontaneous or in an organized fashion. Lord, thank you for the wonderful experience the young people and the workers experienced last week. And I pray that you'd help us to recognize that, hey, that's not limited. That's not limited to camp.